ExxonMobil had amply proved that it could profit in the midst of weak American energy policies. Indeed, the corporation's central role in the American energy economy was, in many respects, a function of Washington's inability, or unwillingness, to challenge assumptions about oil that had prevailed during most of the previous century. Confused and inconsistent American energy policy, then, was hardly a threat to the corporation. It was built into ExxonMobil's business model. The question that mattered more in Irving around the time of Bush's speech was whether the rapid disruptive emergence of alternative energy technologies might upend the oil and gas industry. Could the pennies Bush tossed in the fountain pay off unexpectedly? Technological revolutions regularly overthrew incumbent industries and their corporate leaders. Moore's Law, which described how computing power was becoming ever greater and cheaper as the years passed, suggested that technology-driven upheavals in the American economy would likely occur more frequently than ever before. Since 2000, the Internet and related digital technology had radically disrupted the assumptions of retailers, publishers, and broadcasters in a very short time period. Was it conceivable that ExxonMobil might face a similar disruption from the sudden rise of a transformational alternative energy source? Lee Raymond's view had been that it would be impossible to predict all technological change. But if ExxonMobil maintained a tightly disciplined process of planning and review, its executives might spot new technical trends early, as they started to make market impact. Tillerson proceeded from similar assumptions. Nothing in the oil industry happened overnight. Disciplined planning could catch and assess innovation in its takeoff phases. The management committee reviewed the possibilities for technology surprise each year as part of its corporate strategic planning exercise. At Irving, William Colton, a chemical engineer, finance specialist, and ExxonMobil lifer, led the reviews. He reported directly to Rex Tillerson. Colton was a sharp, thick-necked analyst with a slight smirk. He was not an economist, but his tours as an apprentice executive and later as treasurer of the company's upstream division had educated him about the corporation's financial model and its strategic challenges. Rosemarie Forsyth, the former National Security Council analyst who ran ExxonMobil's political risk department, participated in the reviews, along with a team of economists and business analysts. The corporation's 2030 Outlook for Energy, which confidently predicted continuity in global oil and gas markets and foresaw only limited penetration by solar and wind technologies, reflected the main thrusts of the group's mainstream long-range forecasting. What if they were wrong? Scores of competent economists predicted rising housing prices for decades ahead. Their inability to perceive a speculative bubble and to imagine a radical departure from historical trend lines would soon destroy some large banks and humble many others. ExxonMobil's own history of strategic prognostication could hardly provide its executives full confidence. Its planners had failed in the past to accurately forecast fundamental questions about the future of oil and gas prices. They had failed to predict some big changes in the American transportation economy, such as the sudden popularity of SUVs. Their basic analysis of the global energy mix had proven sound. Although where it was a little off, it tended to suffer from intellectual conservatism, a failure to credit the possibility of more rapid change than conventional wisdom would typically credit. As part of their annual technological review, Tillerson and Colton decided to take a deeper look at some of the emerging new energy technologies just to be sure that ExxonMobil was not missing something that could be suddenly disruptive to the corporation's basic businesses. They commissioned fresh assessments from ExxonMobil's own scientists, but also pushed the scientists to develop deep, credible analysis from outside the corporation. The review produced proprietary, inch-thick white papers from outside scientists and technologists, papers designed to double-check or challenge in-house findings and assumptions. By 2007, Irving's planners felt they had a solid grip on the state of solar and wind power technologies. While the corporation forecasted rapid growth in those industries, aided by government subsidies, ExxonMobil did not regard solar or wind as a meaningful threat to its business. For one thing, solar and wind systems generated electric power and had little direct impact on transportation fuels, the heart of the oil industry. Natural gas, ExxonMobil's principal contribution to power generation, promised to be price competitive with solar and wind for many years to come, and because of the relatively low carbon content in gas, that fuel would benefit overall from more intensive climate regulation, if such regulation emerged. ExxonMobil now considered such regulation more likely than not. Although the corporation's Washington office still lobbied vigorously against a price on carbon, strategic planning at Irving now assumed, for purposes of its annual forecasting, that carbon taxation or limitations would be enacted in the United States in the future. There was inevitable tension between Tillerson's leadership group and Dan Nelson's Washington shop. In effect, the corporation's forecasters were betting against Nelson's ability to ward off climate bills. There was a risk that Irving's analysis would become self-fulfilling prophecy if it led ExxonMobil to change its lobbying position on climate policy to appease rising Democrats. Nelson argued, in the manner of the former Marine that he was, that capitulation would be premature and that ExxonMobil should stick to its guns. Only technology, not Washington policymakers, could truly ambush ExxonMobil. The only area where a breakthrough might be deeply consequential would be in transportation, some leap that suddenly changed how most cars and trucks were powered. As of 2007, the most oft-discussed scenarios for such a revolution in transportation fueling involved the possible emergence of hydrogen fuel cells, biofuels derived from plants, and the growth of battery-powered vehicles. The team Colton helped to coordinate examined all of these possibilities in depth.